Businessman Toby Doden came out on top for the Republican gubernatorial primary, but a recent poll shows his advantage may have slipped. Is Larry Roden the tortoise to Doden's hare? You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. For today's analysis, we're going to look at the wins and losses of the remaining two Republican candidates for the gubernatorial nomination. Now, the winner of the July 28th runoff will face Democrat Dan Ahlers in a general election for governor in November. Today's analysis is from Michael Card and John Hunter. Michael Card is Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of South Dakota, and John Hunter is Publisher Emeritus of the Madison Daily Leader. He's also a member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame. They gathered around the table here with me in SDPB's Sioux Falls studios. What have these two campaigns, Larry Roden and Toby Doden, done right? Where have they maybe misstepped? What are you seeing from their campaigns? Broadly speaking, key takeaways, Mike Card, about each campaign.
Well, I think that Toby Doden just sort of checked out in the month of June, and I think that put him behind, whereas I think Larry Roden has this slow, steady approach that the campaign was really an exemplar of him, and I almost missed Toby's speeches and diatribes, as I would label him, but you know he's a person with a set of opinions, and he seemed to be missing most of the month of June, and I think that's a misstep. But it's also I think it's hard to you run your campaign for a June 2nd primary, and it's over, but it's not over. And now you have to retool, and now you have one opponent, and now you have to raise money or dedicate money for the next election that'll be 8 weeks away. And I think it just took an amount of time to get going on that.
Yeah. So his success was definitely taking out Dusty Johnson.
Yes.
And winning the primary.
Yes.
Misstep would be it took him a minute to pivot, to figure out how to switch the mechanism to a new opponent, Larry Roden.
Right. That's what I think.
Yeah. John Hunter, what do you think? First, Toby Doden's campaign. Big successes and any stumbles that you're seeing?
Well, the question might be, is it is a kind of an anger opponent is terrible kind of campaign what South Dakotans want? Obviously, there was so much attacking of Dusty Johnson during the primary. Now it's attacking Larry Roden. Is that something that voters like? Or would it be better to work on issues? It's just an anger kind of part of the campaign. And I know a lot of campaigns kind of go negative in the last weeks, but this just, so I don't know if that's going to be help at all. I tend to think that if you, make all of Dusty Johnson supporters angry, and you know whoever else, if they would turn around and decide that you would be a better candidate. So I think that's probably a misstep there.
So his speech after the primary, which is I'm delighted that I ended, I'm paraphrasing, the political career of Dusty Johnson. Whether or not that career is ended is, of course, very much up for debate. But in that moment, you're saying, if I understand you correctly, all those voters are still in play for the runoff, and alienating them in that moment maybe was not his best move.
Yeah, to declare
maybe he could have invited them in and said, now, you know,
right,
if you voted for Dusty, come over. This is the bus that's coming through your town. You want to be on it. And instead, he was like,
well, being proud on election night that you hurt someone else. You damaged someone. You damaged a career. You damaged a person or whatever. To me, that's not a pride moment.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think people who supported Dusty Johnson would take to that very well, that if your goal was to harm Dusty Johnson, I'm not going to turn and like you. I mean, that's just not what people do.
How about Larry Roden, Governor Roden's campaign so far? Things that he's done particularly well, John, and then we'll ask Mike, particularly well in areas that he has not been his best?
Yeah, I appreciate going first, because I think Mike and I probably think alike on this. It's very, very typical, I think, of Larry as a person. It's just the steady, straightforward. You know, any time I have seen him speak, it's within the character of what we've seen for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing new. I often wonder, and we've talked about this off air, about the influence of campaign managers and campaign consultants and so forth. Sure. And it doesn't appear as though that Larry has changed very much because of an election consultant. So I just think he's the hare against the tortoise. I mean, right? It's just slow and steady, and this is who I am. And look at the record in than Peer as a legislator and as a lieutenant governor, now as governor. So I just think it's what his campaign in the last 7 weeks seems like. It's who he would represent himself as a person.
Yeah. Any missteps you see from Roden?
The way the Governor Pritzker thing was, but that was not in this campaign.
We still remember,
right?
But that's, the role of Governor Pritzker in the South Dakota
election is
outside.
It's ancient history, I guess. But that's the only misstep I remember.
Yeah, all right.
And that was, I know it was written by someone else. It wasn't written by.
If he weren't paying attention to that, he made a joke about his weight, essentially.
Yeah.
All right, Mike Card.
I think John hit it on the head. I don't have anything else to add to that. Sorry, he's just you know, in a sense, this is what most of South Dakota is slow and steady. You know, we're not gonna take big risks. We see this is who I am and this is how I present myself.
Yeah.
And I think he presented himself as he is. He's not a great public speaker, but you know, I don't want to elect somebody just because they're a great public speaker or because they've got lots of words to use. I want somebody who's going to find a problem and fix it. And yeah, we have some problems, but most of them are, we just need to plug away.
Yeah. All right. So what needs to happen in the final week? Roden campaign has to not veer off. If you were advising them, this seems to be working from what we understand about the polling data right now, which, you know, could be off. But from what we understand, the information we have, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being consistent. Don't make any major missteps.
Well, I think last weekend was probably the time, if there was something and you were going to make an attack ad against Larry Roden, it would have been last weekend. I think this week, so that it would play over this week's news schedule. Mm-hmm. I think in next week, you've got essentially one day.
Yeah,
because this is the summertime. We're going to be outside. Even if it's really hot, we're still going to be out there. And now you've got Monday for it to land on people. So I think if there was something, there isn't.
So I was sharing a Facebook video from Toby Doden's campaign with you both before we turned on the microphones and showing how he's kind of saying, this is where my bus tour is going to be. I'm going to be in the following cities. I'm positive. And the other campaign is not. They're being super negative. And I want to bring it back to you, John, because that seems inconsistent with me. Sometimes you see Toby Doden saying, I'm running a positive campaign. Sometimes you hear him saying something that is fairly negative. Does he need to just run in to be, here's Liz, here's how positive everything is, and be positive, positive, positive in the final week? Or does he have one last shot that he can try to take?
Yeah, it is inconsistent because the campaign has been attacking opponents virtually the whole time. So I think it would be inconsistent to suddenly be shiny and sunny. But as you thought, what can the candidates do in the last week? And this is ironic because I think they should both do the exact same thing. And that is try to get people to get out and vote, which is actually what I like anyway, because the more – I think it helps both the winner and loser, frankly.
Right.
The winner is like, yes, I mean, more people supported me. This is a – it's a firm. It's much more of a mandate. Even the loser said, look, the people had their say. If you have 5% turnout or some low number, then it's like, well, it's not a, you know, maybe I would have won if more people would have come out. So, and just as a member of a democracy, I like having lots of people decide this. I'd love to see an 80% turnout. And, you know, the question is, we're not used to voting in July. You know, we vote in June and a little bit in April for local races and Novembers. And so, you know, and there's not a bunch of candidates on the ballot. Other than this, you walk in, I voted absentee because I'm going to be out of town on Tuesday. So didn't take very long, right? One check and you turn it in. So I hope the turnout is good. I would encourage both candidates to urge their supporters to to vote. And I think it's just a better outcome for both winners and losers when you get great turnout.
Okay. Well, Republicans are the only, registered Republicans are the only people who can fill in that bubble. But there are thousands more registered Republicans since the primary because independents and Democrats are switching to Republican, presumably, so that they can vote in the runoff. Mike Card, this is legal. This is fair, depending on whose opinion you have. How will those numbers affect turnout and the results? What?
Well,
I'm not asking for a crystal ball.
No, I'm I think that you know, it's an allowable procedure. I'm certainly the Mr. Eschenbaum has noted that he's going to try to convince somebody to introduce legislation to slow this down, whether it be you can change registration once a year or to not allow some way to prevent this from happening. But the reality is we need people to get out and vote. And if you're in the minority party, it seems almost logical that you should try to either choose the candidate you want to fight because that person may, or excuse me, choose the candidate you want to win because that person is still more likely to win the general election, or you try to be a spoiler and choose a candidate that you think you can beat either for this election or that you think he'll do such a terrible job that you can win the 2030 general election for governor. I don't put much confidence in that. And from the look on both of your faces, you think I had more than coffee.
Plan. Terrible. If you're trying to vote for somebody who will ruin state government, boy,
you got issues. You're
a special kind of American there.
Yeah. No, and but you know, the real key is what John mentioned is we want as many people to vote as at all possible.
Yeah.
We don't want this race to be decided by a couple hundred people going out to vote on Tuesday, July 28th. And so I would hope that changing party registrations may have a minimal impact, but that impact would have been seen at the general election anyway. You know, and it just brings up, why do we have closed primaries? And closed primaries are so that those who are of my political party can decide what the platform is, although that isn't happening much anymore, and it hasn't happened much since 1972. These are candidate-centered parties anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, all the way back from the committee to reelect the president, where Nixon veered off from the Republican Party. But What does it mean to be a member of a political party anymore? My colleagues who are actual political scientists would say, we need stronger parties, and I happen to agree with them. We need to set an ideological framework. What does it mean to be a member of this political party? And right now, we know that there are multiple factions within both parties, nationwide certainly, and even in South Dakota to a smaller extent.
Yeah. John, you want to add anything about political parties and the strength and robustness of them in this day and age?
Well, first of all, Mike's comments are really enlightening to me. I mean, yeah. It's very interesting that it's shifted to that kind of candidates rather than issues. But we are in a little bit of a unique situation in South Dakota where the registration is so disparate. The idea, too, again, these closed primaries is that each party puts together their candidate and they face each other in November, and in South Dakota, it tends not to happen. It tends to be that ours are discerned in June. And so, yes, let's have as many possible South Dakotans vote in this thing. I tend to believe in, again, I'm being idealistic, but as many South Dakotans as can decide this as possible. Again, and it's well within the rules. Change the rules, fine. But today's rule says, yes, you can change political parties and vote. And so I just like large participation. And yeah. So I don't mind. And I don't know. We don't know these which way they're going to vote in this thing.
But I want to go back to something you said about rules, and that is and participation, and that is the Attorney General and Secretary of State. Those are chosen at convention, which certainly does not have a large turnout when you think about representation across the entire state. So
that needs to change. Maybe I'm not supposed to be that bold.
That is another topic worth considering, whether that system is working for South Dakota.
Yeah, that's just to have a few hundred people decide those statewide offices just isn't what democracy is about. So yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to be that bold on this show, but that process needs to change for those, Mike.
Well, and it's increased because of the polarization, you know, and right now the Democratic Party is a nasty word to say in South Dakota. But they're mostly looking at the National Party, because when we look at the Democrats who have been elected in South Dakota, granted there haven't been that many in the past 15 years, but we could look over the past 30 years, there isn't a lot of ideological differences except on specific issues. You know, one would be the income tax. Well, people forget we used to have an income tax in South Dakota, but And it didn't collect enough money to actually pay for the cost of running the income tax, and that's why we went to a sales tax. But, you know, it's just interesting to think about when we are moving along these lines, how do we get the right person for South Dakota? I want to hear what they're going to do. And if it meets goals that will help me move forward, or goals that will help the state of South Dakota move forward, I think that's what we should be doing. And that's why I say stronger political parties. What does our party stand for? Not necessarily cultural issues, although those are important to many people. And then you should vote on those issues. Mm. But I would hope that we would also be thinking about what is best for the state of South Dakota.
So in the endorsement subhead of our conversation, we had Toby Doden first coming out and endorsing Sioux Falls mayoral candidate Christine Erickson in what is a nonpartisan mayoral race, followed briefly after that by Larry Roden's campaign, who also endorsed Christine Erickson. So those two gubernatorial candidates endorsed a Sioux Falls mayor, Republican candidate. Now Lance Russell, who is chosen as the Republican Attorney General, has endorsed Toby Doden. But Toby Doden might not win, and Lance Russell's governor might be Larry Roden. So how does that endorsement, you know, Jamie Smith could have won for, you know, five more people showed up at the polls that day. It could have flipped, and then whoever the governor would have been would have endorsed his opponent. Endorsements are muddy. So who wants to begin? John, you want to begin with what it means now for an attorney general and a governor if they don't line up like perhaps Doden and Russell want it to?
Yeah, it is an odd situation. I'm not sure what is gained by endorsing, whether a lot of people say, oh, whatever Lance Russell tells me is what I'm going to do, right? So I was going to vote for one. I will vote for the other based on him. Or, frankly, are people in Sioux Falls going to say, oh, I'm going to vote for one than the other? I don't know the positive impact for the candidate themselves or for the state as a whole. So, but does remind me when you talk about the attorney general and the governor possibly not working together because they don't see eye to eye. But remember, there was a time when the lieutenant governor, of course, was selected by the convention, and they really didn't get along.
Yeah, yeah.
And even farther, you go back farther in U.S. history, where you had the loser of the election be the vice president.
Right. Or Jackley and Noem. I mean, Marty Jackley ended up being Kristi Noem's attorney general, and
right,
they had been in a primary against each other at one point.
But muddy, I think, is a good adjective, Lori.
Yeah, it's unclear how it's going to work out, and if Larry Roden is elected as governor and I suspect there will be some clashes between he and the presumable Attorney General, Lance Russell.
Yeah.
It's different factions of the Republican Party are being represented, so there's different interpretations.
Mm-hmm. And peer next year will be very interesting because many of Dusty Johnson's supportive candidates did get re-election.
Yes.
But the ticket was split, and Dusty Johnson did not. So these, to your point, Mike, the factions of the Republican Party in this case, which is not to say that Democrats don't have their own factions.
That's right.
Some very famous examples right now that we'll unpack at a different day. There has to be some kind of unity to get work done, in theory.
And even on a day-to-day basis, yeah. Is what shall we pursue? What lawsuits shall we pursue? What criminal investigations are we going to engage in? Could be different. But again, it's turnout, and your vote has to be in. Whether you took an absentee or what I still call absentee ballots, but an early ballot, it has to be received by the close of business. And, you know, we learned many things from the Sioux Falls race, that you need to check your ballot to make sure there's a stamp on it.
Yeah.
And you need to... I hope people will educate themselves in this last week, looking over what each candidate says they want to do. You can also take in what each candidate may have said about the other person to detract from that a little bit. But have a reason for voting that matches your values.
Mm. And what's best for South Dakota.
And what's
this is a collective thing, right? So it can get selfish sometimes to say, I want this candidate because I personally benefit, but we're trying to elect statewide offices for the good of all of South Dakotans, and that should be part of our decision making.
We'll leave it there. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thanks, Laurie.
Thanks for having us.
John Hunter is publisher emeritus of the Madison Daily Leader. Mike Card is professor emeritus of political science at the University of South Dakota. And that is our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, remember, if you are registered as a Republican, you can vote on July 28th. Early voting is already underway. Stay tuned to sdpb.org/news for election updates. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lauren Walsh. Thank you for listening.